Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel Perek Dalid. As we discussed in the last three prakim, this perek is taking place in the sixth year of Yechezkel's galus from Israel. Yechezkel had received the nevuah of the Maaseh Merkava, was transported to the Gola, and then sat silently for 7 days. After those 7 days, Hashem appears to him and tells him that he will need to remain silent, as Bnei Yisrael are not yet ready to hear his messages. The nevuot in this perek are going to be communicated via action rather than speech. The Da'at Sofrim tells us that this perek begins on the 12th of Tammuz in the year 3332, which is approximately 6 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. At this time, Yirmiyahu is trying to convince the people in Israel of the same message that Yechezkel is trying to give over to the people who are living in Bavel. The description of what Yechezkel needs to do in this perek is very visual and powerful. It lets us imagine what those living at the time must have felt seeing what Yechezkel was willing to subject himself to for their good. Pesukim Aleph through Gimel describe how Yechezkel is commanded to draw a scene of a siege against Yerushalayim on a brick. Pesukim Daleth through Yud Zayin, verses 4 through 17, describe how Yechezkel personifies the events of the siege. In Pesukim Daleth through Ches, 4 through 8, it details how he's going to lie on his side immobile. In Tes through Yud Zayin, 9 through 17, it describes what he will eat and drink during those days of lying on his side. The actions described in this parak are bizarre and shocking. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes, "God forbid that God should expose his prophets to the laughter and raillery of fools." The Rambam feels that these actions were merely a prophetic vision. In contrast, the Seder Olam says that these events literally took place and Yechezkel did what Hashem had requested of him in this parak. Now let's examine the details of the Pesukim to understand what has happened. So the parak begins, "V'ata ben Adam kach lecha leveina v'nasata osa lefanecha, and you, son of man, take a brick and put it before you, the Chakosa Aleha Ir, as Yerushalayim, and trace upon it a city, Yerushalayim." Va'ata indicates that Yechezkel is receiving a new nevuah, a new command from Hashem. He is commanded to take a large brick or a tablet, according to Rashi, and draw a scene of the holy city, Yerushalayim. The Malbim says that the Navi's command to draw the city was itself part of the message. Just as the artist, the Navi, was creating the drawing, Hashem is the one who creates Yerushalayim. It only exists because of the attention and care of Hashem. He brings it into being, and he will destroy it if he so chooses. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Yechezkel is told to draw all the elements of a siege, a matzor, that would surround Yerushalayim on the brick. He drew all the classic elements of siege warfare. The opposing army would build a large fort, a dayek, around the city, both to protect its own army and to prevent reinforcements from reaching those who lived inside the city. They would then construct a mound of dirt, a solala, to breach the walls so they would not need to come in through the reinforced entrances. There were karim, which either mean battering rams to destroy the walls, or armies to prevent the weak and ill from leaving the city. The machanos would hurl large rocks into the city. All these efforts combined would lead the city into a time period of death, disease, and famine. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Yechezkel must now show Bnei Yisrael that they would not be protected despite the fact that Yerushalayim is Hashem's holy city. Va'ata kach lecha machvas barzel, v'nasata osa kir barzel. And you, take an iron pan, a flat iron pan, and put it as a wall of iron between you and the city. According to the Barbanel, when the Navi puts the iron pan between himself and the brick, the Navi represents Hashem. Whereas before, Hashem's grace was on Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim was Hashem's city, now it is as if an iron wall separates Hashem from his people. Hashem is making war on his own city. This iron wall continues after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Chazal say, "Miyom shacharav Beis HaMikdash nifsika chomas barzel ben Yisrael laviyam sheva shamayim." Since the day the temple was destroyed, an iron wall separates Israel from their Father in heaven. The Malbim points out that although there is a barrier between Hashem and his city and Hashem and his people, he is still looking at it. He wants Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva. So first he sends them a Navi to get them to improve. And when that doesn't work, he sends them a siege. Both the Navi and the enemies are trying to accomplish the goal of reconnecting the Jewish people to their priorities. Pasuk Dalet verse 4 through Pasuk Zion verse 7 set the stage for the next stage of imagery. Yechezkel will now add to his symbolic act something that is meant to shake the Jewish people out of their complacency. This is an act of only someone very ill or very crazy. He is going to lie facing the image of the siege, immobile, paralyzed, on his side for 390 days, and then he will turn to his right side for 40 days. He was to lie there with his sleeve rolled up, an image of someone ready to get to work with the task at hand. Although in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, it says that Yechezkel is delivering a prophecy, this prophecy is wordless, as Hashem has already told him he could not speak. The silent actions are a far more powerful messenger. The 390 days lying on his left side symbolize the years the northern kingdom of Israel sinned, as the Pasuk says in Pasuk Hei, V'nasasa avon beis Yisrael, you will bear the sins of the house of Israel. After this 390-day period, the Da'as Sofrim said that Yechezkel was to get up, around, and lay down for another 40 days, symbolizing the sins of the southern kingdom, Malchus Yehuda. According to Rashi, these 390 years span the time from the Shoftim, after the death of Yehoshua, until Eli, and then resume from the 239 years of the northern kingdom. The 40 days correspond to the 40 years when the southern kingdom, Malchut Yehuda, should have learned from the exile of the northern kingdom. It includes the 22 years of Menashe's 55 years when he sinned, the rule of Amon Yehoyakim, and the first 5 years of Zidkiyahu. Chazal tell us that this time of suffering for Yechezkel was for Bnei Yisrael's sake. From the time the Jews entered the lands of Israel, they were not careful about the laws of Shemitah. They did not observe 70 years of Shemitah, and were therefore exiled for 70 years. In total, they desecrated the land for 430 years, and therefore Yechezkel, in order to compensate for some of those years, will suffer on their behalf. Starting from Pasuk Tes, verse 9, we hear about Yechezkel's diet. It adds an element of shock to what is to occur. The verse 9 says, you should take wheat and barley, beans, lentils, and millet and spelt. Then he should put them in one vessel, make bread, and then lie upon his side and eat it for 390 days. The diet was to consist of various grains and proteins put into one vessel and made into a cake of some sort. It only mentions that he was to eat it for 390 days. In the 10th verse, it tells us that he was to eat 20 shekel worth of food in a 24-hour period and also drink a limited amount of water. The Das Mikra calculates that each shekel is equivalent to 9.6 grams, which means that he ate less than 800 calories a day. To add to the horror, Hashem initially commands him in Pasuk Yabez, verse 12, V'ugos se'orim tochlena, v'hi begelalei tse'as ha'adam, and you will eat barley cakes, and you will bake it in their sight with human excrement. Why was he to eat this particular food in this manner, cooked in this way, and for only 390 days when we know he was to lie on his side for 430 days total? Yechezkel needed to communicate what would happen during the time of the siege and how horrible it would become. When there is a siege, people don't know when their food stocks will be resupplied, and so food is rationed in order to make sure that it can last them as long as possible. They take whatever food is available, whether it be wheat, barley, spelt, or some proteins, and make a meal so that they can extend their lives. They know once the food runs out, with the enemy laying siege, and then them unable to collect more food, hunger and disease will set in. This causes the inhabitants of the city to be upset and worried as they eat, and they don't bother to prepare an appetizing meal, but throw it together in one bowl to get their nutrition taken care of and out of the way. The Radak says that they ate once a day, Me'es la'es, as there is not that much food, and their meal is only to provide them with the basic sustenance and minimal nutrition. The Malbim explains that this corresponded historically to what actually happened during the siege of Yerushalayim. Hashem told Yechezkel he would have food for 390 days. What about those last 40 days? The Malbim explains that in the final siege of Yerushalayim, their food did indeed run out for the last 40 days. As Yirmiyahu describes in Perek Chafal of Pasuk Tes, Chapter 29:1, verse 9, Hayoshev bi'ir hazos yomus b'cherev u'b'ra'av u'b'dever. Whoever remains in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Mutsudas David disagrees with this approach and says that Yechezkel's diet of cakes continued the last 40 days, although it is not mentioned explicitly in the Psukim. There are a few explanations as to why in Pasuk Yud Beis the meal is described as barley, whereas in the previous Pesukim, Yecheskel's meal is made of different grains. Barley is the food of animals, and during the siege, the meal will have lost the human element of pleasure. In addition, barley has a laxative property, which will further Yecheskel's suffering and degradation. Having to prepare the food over human excrement furthered the message. According to the Barbanel, in a famine, they don't have firewood, and they can't leave their homes to collect fuel for their to cook food. They are forced to use human waste. The Radak adds that when Jews go out to war, they must bring a shovel so that they bury their waste and keep their camp holy. As Galus was approaching, Hashem wanted Yecheskel to inform the Jewish people that their food would now be tainted within the impurity found in exile, and they would no longer be able to maintain a pure camp as they have always been so careful to do. Kacha yochlu b'nei Yisrael es lachmam tamei. So the children of Israel will eat their bread with impurity. Bagayim asher adichem sham. In the nations where I will drive them there. Pasuk Yedalad, verse 14. Yecheskel has been willing to suffer all the indignities that Hashem is commanding him, and to lay on his side, and to not move, and to eat this coarse food. He can't hold himself back anymore. Aha Hashem Elokim. A deep sigh comes from the depths of his soul, as for his whole life, as he describes in the Pesukim, Yodalid and Tesvav, he has never eaten from impurity and has sacrificed to only eat the highest standards of kashrus and purity, even when he is living in the galus. In response to Yecheskel's sorrow, Hashem allows him to cook his food over animal dung instead of over human excrement. The last two Pesukim of the Perek tell us of the impending famine that is to come in greater detail. These words echo the Tochacha, the rebuke found in Vayikra, Leviticus 26, where Moshe outlines what will happen if the Jewish people do not follow the Torah. Here these verses are coming to fruition. In Pasuk Tes Zayin, verse 16, bread is called the staff of life, as people depend on it to survive. During the famine, they will eat and drink with anxiety and no peace of mind. As they eat and drink, they will worry about where their next meal will come from. The last pasuk emphasizes the worst of the famine. V'nashamu ish v'achiv v'namaku ba'avonam. They will be dismayed with one another, and they will waste away in their sins. During this famine, they won't have other people who they can gain comfort from. During other tragedies, such as sickness or when somebody passes away, people can gain comfort from those who can come to support them. During a famine, everybody is suffering together, and there's nobody available to support each other. Not only are people robbed of support, every person in their life is suspect and could add to their suffering. Is the other person eating their food? Are they robbing them? Every day another person lives is a day with less food for another individual. The lack of human connection adds to the trauma in a profound way. The lack of food will also cause conflict, as people don't know what the next best course of action is and their minds are clouded with hunger. Should they surrender? Should they resist? Battles will break out between different factions, leading to more death than would have just occurred with a famine. The Radak says that they will become so despondent as they realize that all this suffering has been caused by their sins. As we read the Perek, we are faced with a very challenging message. It tells us of the horror of the last days of the Jews in Israel and how Yecheskel has suffered to bring the message to the Jewish people. Through his acts of sacrifice, we can understand his devotion to his people. And what wouldn't he do to bring them to tshuva? Shekol zman sheYisrael b'tzar, af tzadikim havu imahem b'tzar. The Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah says that at any time when the Jews are suffering, the tzadikim, the righteous people, are with them suffering. There are a number of lessons we can take from this perek. First, sometimes words don't penetrate, but actions will. When we feel our words are falling on deaf ears, sometimes we just need to act in a way which will bring our message home and hope the other person will learn from what we are doing. Second, even at the harshest times, even as Hashem is punishing us, He tries to minimize our suffering. One way he does this is by punishing the tzaddikim in a generation who bear the brunt of the punishment so that everyone else in the nation will survive and grow. And they do this with an immense love for their nation. Third, Hashem has put a wall of Barzel between the Navi and the city, between himself and the nation. He only needed to do this because we did not listen to the Navi as he exhorted us to change our ways. The wall of Barzel, the punishments, the torment, the suffering that we experience in Galus, is a message and is a sign that Hashem is still waiting for us to return. Hashem Elohim, we know Hashem loves us through the way he treats us as Elohim, as judgment. All of this is only a sign of caring. And we should walk away from this perek both ready to change and understanding that this is being done with love. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.